Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some useful nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. No matter how contrary that might seem, just like this nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm delighted you could join me today for a fascinating exploration of the healing aspect of mediumship. Karen Doherty is a psychic medium who helps people all over the world heal through connecting with the spirit world. She says our loved ones still care for and look after us as they continue their journey in the spirit world. But she not only gives readings, she also gives public demonstrations of mediumship and she has a mentoring and training program. She offers a contemporary approach to psychic work and mediumship, but based on traditional principles. You could say then that Karen Doherty is the modern face of mediumship. I asked her to tell us exactly how she works, since the Victorian cliché of the fairground medium holding a séance in a darkened room is really not her.
No, that's not what we do. And it's, you know, I think that that is something that people do think, like you say, or, and especially if they're not used to being with a medium or sitting with a medium. And there's so much out there that probably isn't true about mediumship as well. So it's kind of an ongoing thing that mediums are trying to educate and put that out there. But really, I can only speak for myself with my work, and my work from the healing aspect is what's important. So although you're going to be able to read for people in a psychic way, which would be about their lives, it would be about bringing guidance and things that were maybe potentially coming up for them. The other side of that is the connection to spirit, the connection to the spirit people on the other side, but also the connection to your own spirit and teaching people how they can access that. Because what happens through mediumship, whether it is giving a reading from someone who's crossed over or putting someone in touch with their own spirit, their own higher self, it brings about a healing that really impacts their life. You know, yeah. If someone is grieving, for instance, the what you tell them, that evidential mediumship can free them from lots of different aspects of their grief, and then that empowers them. And likewise, putting them in touch with their own spirit and recognizing that lets them free themselves from a lot of conditioning that they might have, and that brings healing to them too.
Well, I love that you've said that, because all the mediums that I've ever met or spoken to or heard of, actually, in my life, nobody really talks about putting you in touch with your own spirit, with yourself. I think that's fantastic. Isn't that what we all need to do, right?
It really is. And actually, I think really it's happening more now for whatever reason. You know, we've all been through different things now and the world's kind of changing as well. So I think more and more people are looking for something, but there's still so much work to be done to kind of tell people that you can do that. Like, you are spirit in human form. So don't wait until you've lived your life out and crossed over and then recognize that, you know, recognize that now and harness that and embrace that and be able to navigate your way through life a different way.
Yes, and that's not to say that you don't do the traditional kind of mediumship. You do that, don't you? But it is it is fascinating to me anyway, and hopefully to our listeners, that you embrace the living as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I definitely do the more traditional ways of mediumship, as in doing readings and teaching and events, but I love all aspects of mediumship, but I find that the way to help people maybe are coming for psychic guidance, the way to help them is to show them that they are spirit, that they do have a path in front of them, and it really empowers them to make their own decisions then in life too, rather than waiting to kind of hear from someone else what they should do. So it's across the board, my mediumship, and it's important to me to have it that way as well, because as much as connecting with the spirit loved ones that have crossed over is amazing, connecting with guides is amazing too, and bringing forth information that I think people need.
Yeah, yeah. So it's I think it's great. I think as I say, I've never heard of a medium talking in that way. It's always been, you know, connecting with loved ones who've passed over, that kind of idea. But it's so important, isn't it, to connect with yourself. And as you say, we are spirit in human bodies, in human forms here. So accessing that part of us, which is, some would say, divine. It's not a word that I use that often, but it's that kind of idea. It's accessing that part of us which is massive and not constricted to the body, isn't it? That's kind of part of it. And so how did you get into mediumship? That's one of the things I want to ask you.
So I always knew as a child that there was spirit people, as I would call them, walking around. Like, I was always aware of seeing people that I knew weren't physical, but I was never frightened of them. It wasn't like I thought, oh, they're not physical, who are they? I just kind of had a knowledge that, oh yeah, that's them, they're there, you know, and it didn't really bother me too much. And then as I kind of grew up and went through teens and early 20s, it just became more and more, and I would pick up things for people. You know, I might have a friend in and I would see someone standing behind her, and just lots of different experiences. But I didn't actually think at that point that that meant I was a medium. I had always been drawn to mediumship. I had watched mediums, followed mediums from a very young age, read mediumship books. Doris Stokes, she was an English medium. Yeah. I read her books at the age of 10. I was always very drawn to it, but still never really putting two and two together at any point, just thinking, well, that's just what I love and that's the way it is. And my grandmother, actually, my dad's mum, I was very close to her, and she used to say, oh, here's Karen, she brings spirit with her. So she obviously had seen that or spotted that. And I found out much later that she was mediumistic too. But coming back to my early 30s, that's when everything seemed to fall into place. And I just knew that it was becoming so intense that I had to go and talk to someone about it. And I spoke to a medium about it. And she said, well, when are you going to develop your gift? And I said, well, what do you mean? I don't have a gift. And she said, you're a medium. And that was the first person that had kind of said it. And I did go and start to develop it. And it just, from there on in, it was just like the penny dropped. I felt home, and I just knew that this is what I was supposed to do.
Yeah. And so you weren't scared as a kid that you saw people floating around. I say floating around, that sounds flippant, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You saw disembodied spirits presumably on a regular basis. It wasn't just once in a while.
Yeah, it was quite regular. The earliest memory I have, and it's the earliest memory I have full stop. It's not, right. You know, I was about 3 or 4 years old, I think, maybe near four. And I was on a bus with my mother at the time, and we were going past this graveyard. And I looked out. I remember pressing my face against the glass and looking at this graveyard and just seeing lots of people walking around. And I said to my mum at that point, who are all of those people? And I remember my mum just kind of shaking her head a little bit, maybe thinking it's my imagination or whatever. And she didn't answer me. But then I remember the question in my mind, I wonder if I'm buried in there. And that was the very first thing that I remember as a child. And so then it went on from there. So I was never really frightened in any way, but it did sometimes become a little bit intense and overwhelming. And so frightening is a different thing, I suppose, but I was overwhelmed at some points in my life with it, because it just seemed so much. Like, when I would go to sleep at night or try to go to sleep, I would hear lots of voices and things, and sometimes that became a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, so you are clairvoyant and clairsentient then as well, and you hear things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So clear. So you have your clairaudience, which is the hearing, voyance, seeing, sentience, feeling, but claircognizance is the clear knowing as well. So I use all four kind of faculties. There's clairgustance as well, which is tasting. There's lots of different elements to mediumship, but I think that most mediums will work strongly in two or three of the faculties of it, and then the other ones are kind of in the background usually.
Yeah, and I'm curious about this. I want to get onto the healing side of things again in a minute, but I'm just curious, do you believe as a medium that we all have these gifts but we don't develop them, or do you think some people are just born with that?
So every single person that walks this earth is psychic. We all have a psychic intuition. Some might call it the gut instinct, some might call it psychic, some might say sixth sense, but we all have that to varying degrees. Because we come from the spirit side of life, we come here and we can still communicate mind to mind or pick things up, because that's the way we communicate in spirit. So we all have that, and we can all develop that. Some might develop it to such a degree that they can read for other people and tune into other energies. Other people might just develop their own psychic power where they can pick up things for themselves. So there are people that are born to have varying degrees of that. Mediumship is different. I believe that you're naturally born a medium, which is making that connection to those that have crossed over.
Interesting.
There is a big difference. And so what we say is every medium is psychic, but not every psychic is a medium.
Nice distinction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I would consider myself to be psychic, but I'm not a medium, if that you know, by that definition. Yeah, because I don't ever kind of pick things up from people who have passed over at all. But I do see things and hear things. And but I can see the distinction. Yeah. And so do you find that the mediumship part of your work, connecting with loved ones who have passed over, is that a healing thing in itself?
Definitely. I mean, I think, I don't know that I would be able to say that anyone has been for a reading and not felt some form of healing throughout the reading. And it, like I said at the beginning, it's the most important part for me as a medium to make sure that that healing takes place. So if you have a mother in the spirit side who is connecting with her daughter or her son, the things that that mother would want to say will heal the mother in the spirit side too, and it will also bring the healing for the child here. And like I said, it just empowers someone in a different way. When people walk away after having evidential mediumship, so evidential meaning that it's proven that the mother knew things that have happened after she crossed over, and reiterated that to the person. Once someone's experienced that, then they have a different perspective on that, because they know that the mother is still with them. They know that, you know, the things that were said needed to be said, perhaps. And it just kind of, I think it can't change grief, because we all have to go through grief in our own way, but it really does help heal parts of that.
Yes, and it's comforting to many as well, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really comforting. And it's not just the person that comes for the reading. They've gone home and maybe told someone else about that experience. And although that third person hasn't been themselves, in turn, it starts them opening their mind up or opening their heart up to the fact that that exists. And so it's almost like a domino effect, and you don't know who it's going to impact, which is the most amazing thing.
And I'm also curious that you said that when you started to see spirits, it wasn't something that frightened you. Because a lot of people, and maybe it's because we're conditioned by horror films and all that sort of stuff, you know, but a lot of people would be scared stiff if they saw something which was a ghost.
Yeah, and I think you've just said it quite correctly. You know, Hollywood, horror films, TV, you know, even ghost hunting TV and all this that seems to have been magnified over past years, it's really there to frighten people. It's really there to make sure that people know that there's a fear of the unknown, or if something moves or if there's activity, then it must be bad, or it must be there to frighten you. And it's just not true. I mean, even if you talk about what we call poltergeist, you've heard that term. And people are terrified and, you know, talk about that like it's the most awful thing. But I know for a fact that there are, you know, there are some instances of activity ghosts, if you want to call it that, although that's a slightly different term, but there's activity going on. It's just an active spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that that spirit's bad. It could be your own father trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. But because we can't see it, and remember, the mind is there to protect you as well. So your mind is going to tell you that that must be something frightening or bad or out of the ordinary, so it doesn't understand it, so it's going to try and keep you safe. So I think there's many different elements to that. But when I was growing up, and like I said, my grandmother was one of the ones that really did recognize things. She used to say to me, if I said, you know, oh, there's a man in the living room, you know, she would say, oh, don't worry, it's the living that'll harm you, not the dead. And she just used to completely make it completely normal for me. So then it wasn't frightening to me.
Yeah, I love that, actually. And I've come to that conclusion myself, that, you know, the dead really can't harm you at all.
No.
It's all in the mind. And
and the mind magnifies everything.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of someone who's frightened of spiders, now, it could be a money spider that's tiny, and someone who is frightened of spiders will not be able to even handle that aspect. Now, we know that spider can never harm someone, but the mind is conditioned to such a degree that the mind is put in a state of fear within that person. Well, it's the same thing. The mind magnifies everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yes. I had a few experiences. Well, I've had many experiences in my life around spirits and ghosts and all sorts of things. But I do remember when I was very young, my first year or two as a reporter, a young reporter, and they sent me and a few others off to spend the night in a haunted house. I couldn't do it. I had to get out of there. It was just too much. The suspense, apart from anything else. And then when the electric went, because we hadn't fed the meter, that was that was a bit of a scary moment. Yeah, that was an interesting evening. I mean, there was definitely a presence, which didn't feel great. But then, of course, I think maybe, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, it depends on how strong we are in ourselves, whether these things can have any effect on us.
It does. I mean, it does. It definitely comes from a place of, if you go in with a positive mind and you're strong with that, then your fear factor doesn't quite come into it in the same way. But like you said before, you know, there's been such a big thing about TV and, you know, film, and you're already conditioned before you go in that room that there's going to be something happening, and it's going to be something that you might not like. Now, that isn't to say that even as a medium, if something out of the blue happens, I don't get a fright. You know, of course, I was in my office last week doing a reading for someone online. And as I was speaking with her, it was her father in the spirit side, and I could feel his energy was very, very strong, almost to a point of being really quite overpowering. And I was working away with him, and the picture behind me came off the wall. The picture on my other wall came off the wall, and I jumped. I got fright.
Of course, yeah.
Human. You know, you're human as well, and you don't expect that to happen. But I wasn't frightened of it. I just said to the girl, you know, oh, your dad's working hard today, you know, and just made it like that. And, you know, after the reading was finished, you know, I sat and spoke to spirit and said, well, that can't happen. You know, that we can't start doing that, you know. But for me, it's not a frightening thing. But I understand that if something huge was to happen, which is very, very rare that spirit do things like that.
Yeah.
If it did, then I would jump the same as everyone else would jump.
I guess that does make sense. And it's somehow comforting to know that Karen would react just the same as anyone else. We'll have more from Karen in a moment, but first, it's time to hear these messages from our sponsors. Back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest, the internationally renowned medium, Karen Doherty. I was curious to find out more about the healing aspect of Karen's work, so I asked her to tell me what kind of issues people come to her with.
There's all different ways, I suppose, to look at that or that people come with. So if someone comes to me and their own life is in turmoil, whether it's, you know, relationships or family relationships or work, whatever problem that person has that they're dealing with or whatever issue that might be at that moment in time, that is so important to them. And it's impacting their whole being, their whole world in that moment in time. So you can help them with that through guidance and again, through teaching empowerment or how to relax them, I suppose, and give them tools to use in that respect to help that healing process take place so that they can move on in a different way.
Yeah.
When it's, you know, like I've already spoken about the grief aspect to it, which I know that most people have been through grief of some sort, and most people who are listening would understand that side of it as well. But I think, generally speaking, people come to me when they feel like they have no control over how they feel, their emotions, whether it's through losing someone, whether it's through their own stuff. And really the healing aspect of mediumship, and I'm talking about their guides and helpers coming forward, their loved ones coming forward to help and assist that person as well. And also I mentioned before about the healing that takes place in the spirit side, because this is, it's almost like a double-edged sword, really. If there's healing taking place here because of that person in spirit, then there's also healing for that person in spirit too. Because they also, if you can imagine someone that passes away, you know, unexpectedly, for instance, they have to come to terms with the fact that they are no longer in their physical life. They can't physically hug their children. They can't physically do the things they like to do. They can't tell their family that they are there still, albeit they can through mediumship, but, you know, themselves. So they in the spirit side are grieving for that loss too. So there is grief on both sides. So the healing takes place for both sides, which I think is a really beautiful part of this, really.
Oh, it is. And it reminds me of somebody who is always saying, and I do believe this, that you heal yourself and you heal your ancestral line. So whatever healing you do in the now goes back through the ages. You know, the more that you heal yourself, the more you're healing whoever's passed on in your entire line.
You're also stopping patterns as well. You know, there's sometimes maybe a behavioral thing within a family line, or maybe there's been alcoholism, or maybe there's been something that's caused some form of abuse somewhere along the line, and it's maybe, you know, kind of being conditioned for the next generation and the next generation. And so by someone here stopping that and saying, I'm healing me, I'm healing what goes on within me, and then that, like you say, is managing to stop that pattern from occurring for the generation to come. But it's also sending that healing to those that have already been through it too. And those that have already been through it will be helping that process. There's many readings that I've done where someone has come forward from spirit and maybe addressed a problem within a family or something that happened between them and my client, and brought that healing in that moment themselves. And that then that changes the person here. So there's all of these different aspects working at the same time.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Could you give me an example? You don't have to name names, but could you give me an example of that happening to somebody?
Yeah, sure. I had a lady coming to see me, and as I worked, it was her grandmother that came forward first, and she was happy with that, and the evidence was flowing and everything was fine. And then I said to her, oh, I've got your dad here. Now, as soon as I felt him coming in, I knew she doesn't want him. This is about an abusive situation. And I just knew. So I said to her before she could even react to that, now, listen, I do understand that there has been complications in that relationship. And she said, yes. I said, and I know you don't want him to come in. And she said, I don't want to talk to him. And I said, that's okay. I said, but please know that he feels this because he's given me that information. And it is your choice, and he won't be upset whether he can or he can't communicate with you. But I want you to know that by the very fact he's coming in close means that he's trying to heal the wounds of the past. Now, that might not happen in this life. It might be in the next life, you know, that you choose to do that. But either way, that is why he's coming. He's not coming to upset you. So at that, she relented a little and she said, well, okay. And she, you could see that she was trying to get her mind around what was being said. But you could also see her walls coming down ever so slightly. And now I didn't go into it fully because I knew she was maybe just not ready for that yet. But he did get to say a few things to her. She did understand it. She did accept that. And then I said, now I'm going to ask your dad to step back. But please know that your dad is aware of the situation, and he is there whenever you wish to call upon him, if you ever do. So when we finished, she thanked me, and then she emailed me the next day and she said, I don't know what happened, but I just feel like something has shifted. And I said to her, that's a starting block, isn't it? That's just the start. So whether then that person, that lovely lady, chooses to go forward with that healing and open all of that up is irrelevant at that point, because really what's happened there is that father in the spirit side has been brave and had courage to come forward, because he knew that he was going to be rejected from that. But he still came forward, and whatever it done, it opened something up. Now, you know, that might have continued, it might not have continued, but either way, it has to happen as well. So when we cross over, if there's been a situation that isn't healed, usually we will deal with it on the other side anyway. But if we deal with it on this side, if we can, you can't be blasé about it and say, oh, everyone should just heal themselves. There's situations that might never be able to be. But if you can, if there's anything you can do for yourself to heal yourself as well, I would encourage that where it can be done.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? I think that we all think of healing as really something that is just done in this or on this plane, in this dimension, you know. And I think a lot of us tend to completely overlook the fact that we can and are constantly healing all down the generations, you know, all around us. When we heal ourselves, we heal the entire planet and everything in it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all, as parents or even as children, we don't know how to do everything correctly. You know, no. I'm quite sure that my parents would say they made some mistakes. I would say as a parent, I've made some mistakes. You know what? You know, we tend to look at things in a negative way, but we should really embrace that and say, like, let's change that then. Let's see what we can change. And I think it's a constant look at yourself, inwardly and say, okay, how have I done and what do I need? And that's another reason people come to me as well, is they don't know their inner voice at that point. They don't that they have that power to do that, you know. So I can help people with that side of things as well, just really to find that inner voice, and then in turn that helps them go forward.
Yeah, because that really is important, isn't it? I mean, I'm quite used to listening to my inner voice. It's very talkative, thank you very much, but I can see that a lot of people, for a lot of people, that would be really radical.
Because some people are very logical in their thinking and think that that means if they're logical, that's realistic. And that's the way they think. They don't think, like I've said to many people in my lifetime, I'm sure, I heard myself saying this, or this thought came up, or this, you know, whatever phrasing I've used at that time. Now, there's people in my life that really don't believe in this. Not that they don't believe in me, but it's not their thing. And I, you know, everyone's different. But the ones that have that way of thinking where they don't really know about this or they don't believe in it, they just look as if to say, what? You know, like, what you're talking about. But everyone's got it. We all have that. And it really, I call it our inner sat-nav for life. Because
absolute
that is
nice
your,
one.
Yeah, it's your voice. It's your intuition, psyche. It's your spirit speaking back to you to tell you, don't take that decision, take this one. And what do we do as humans? We go with what we want, which is the ego. And usually we can kick ourselves after it and say, I knew I shouldn't have made that choice.
Yes.
I knew I was supposed to take that other job, but I knew that person wasn't good for me, or whatever it might be. And it's because your voice was telling you all along, but it takes us a minute to catch up.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? How many times have we all done that? I do it less now, but it's taken me many years to get to that point.
Yeah, so I think that's the same for everyone, though.
I know. But it is so easy, especially when you're younger, to overrule that inner voice that will come up and say, nah, that's not a good idea. Don't go down that road. And then, you know, because for very many reasons, you just decide to go for it anyway, and then you end up regretting it. But I think it's great to hear how you're using your mediumship and your gifts to help people heal. It's very important for us to heal on a spiritual level as well, isn't it?
It really is. And I think that spiritual level, I think we have to remember that we have to give that respect. You know, like, there's a big thing for me within my work about respecting spirit, and that includes your own spirit. You know, there's many different religions and times gone by that will say things to that effect as well, because religion, of course, is a completely different subject.
Yes.
I didn't come from a religious background at all, but I'm aware of it within, you know, families and people connected to me. But ultimately, we are all the same, and ultimately we all look for that inner voice or that strength or someone to come and help us. And some people will say, some people will do their prayers to God, some people will use divine, some people will say source, other people say universe, some people say self. Whatever way you see it, what you're doing is you are realigning yourself with your higher self, which is that of spirit, which is connected to source, and we're all connected to source. So either way, we are going to gain that strength from there.
Yeah, so it's a really, what you're doing is healing that disconnect, that disconnection from our source, and bringing about healing.
Yeah, because if you're truly in alignment with your spirit, you are at peace.
Yeah.
When you're not in alignment, and it's not always easy, because we have to live this human life, okay?
Correct,
so there's other things affecting us all the time. There's a push and a pull going on all the time. We live in a material world, so we all have to have jobs, earn money, pay bills. You know, there's all these stresses and strains as well in life. So it's not always easy to stay aligned with your spirit, because you are human, and you have to be human. And when I feel that I'm not in alignment, I know the difference. And then I say, you know what you need to do? You need to sit and do a meditation, or you just have to go for a walk in nature, or you just have to sit and take a few deep breaths. Any of these things will realign you with your true self. And once you're in that power, you will feel the healing and you will feel at peace.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more on that. And then, do you find that when you are at peace, as it were, in the way that you've just described, is that a point where you don't have or tend not to be so susceptible to physical ailments?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, your physical body will definitely throw up physical ailments if there's things going on. You know, if you think of the word disease, it's dis-ease, and it's really when you're not at ease with something. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no disease out there that you know, is within our control sort of thing, yeah. Or out with our control, I should say. But really, what if you can center yourself, align yourself, and stay within that kind of power or energy, it really does manage to push things away. Or, you know, if someone, well, I'll tell you a story for me. I had fibromyalgia for many years.
That's not very nice.
Yeah. No, it was really, actually, there was points where I couldn't get out of bed. I used to come up and down the stairs, on sitting on the stairs one step at a time because I couldn't walk on the soles of my feet. There was many different things. But when I look back, I was in a really poor place in my life. I was in quite a toxic marriage at the time. And then I left that. And when I left that and I just started to become me, which was my mediumship, which was, you know, doing all the spiritual aspect, things that I love, going out for exercise, going out in nature, eating a different diet, my fibromyalgia's never been back. And that's been for 6 years. So I know personally that can happen, you know. I know that can happen. Now I'm not saying it can happen for everyone, I'm not a doctor, but I know that if you can connect with yourself and make yourself strong and remain in that power, I know it makes a massive difference to your health.
It really does. I completely agree with you. And that's not to say that you're not going to get sick, right?
Of course. Yeah.
It's not to say that, you know, that something won't knock you off your perch, as I always put it. You know, something will come along and knock you for six, and you might get a bit sick, but you get back up again and you have a strong core.
Well, the thing is, you know, spirit can't heal all the sicknesses in the world, because if they did, there wouldn't be any. Mm. So the spirit can't, you know, influence things to that huge level all the time. I'm not saying that spirit can't heal. Spirit will heal. If anyone's had a spiritual healing before, it makes such a difference. So that definitely can alter your energy and change things that way. But there are illnesses out there that we are all going to receive at some point or get at some point. But like you say, trying to remain as strong as you can, or even giving you that alignment with your own higher self, it gives you a different outlook as well. It keeps you in a more positive space so that you can do what you can do as your part in that too. But it all comes under the umbrella of healing. Every aspect of mediumship does come under the umbrella of healing.
Well, that's a good point to sit with as we take another short break now. We'll be back with more from Karen Doherty right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both Lauren is always Mark. Better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health Mother regime. Dad. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101. On UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio, with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest, psychic and medium, Karen Doherty. So it struck me that mediumship is really just another tool to help heal, but one which not everyone will be able to offer unless they have the gift.
You know, and there's going to be listeners that really feel that they're mediumistic too, or that there's things that they can connect with, maybe things that we've talked about today. And so I also do the mentoring side of things, where I will help people develop. And the reason I started that was because I felt when I started to do my development, there wasn't really a lot out there for me to access. Mm. So there wasn't someone, I mean, there were, don't get me wrong, I had teachers, I went to various, you know, workshops and things and met with different teachers, but I just felt there wasn't someone on hand for me to go to with a question if one came up, or to yes. give me sort of a progressive development. So I then decided at some point that I would do mentorship, which is what I do now as well. So that's another side to it also.
Well, I think that's great. Now, I was just about to say to you, tell me a little bit more about the training, because you do training as well. So tell me a little bit more about that. Yeah. So the mentorship, yeah. brilliant, but the training, how does that differ?
Well, it's the same thing, really. The mentorship's more on a one-to-one level. So mm-hmm. although I've got some students that I will only accept a certain amount of students, because I want to make sure that I am the one doing the yeah. teaching, and I'm not kind of passing them to a different teacher. There is a small amount of students really in that respect, but it's so that they can, so that I can understand who they are, what they do, what they're looking for, and really mentor them on that one-to-one. There's also workshops that I do online as well, and there's online courses which people can just undertake at their own leisure. And it's all my work, so they will get videos and things like that, and that's more for the course side of things. But either way, anyone who needs to look at some form of training or development might benefit from that, because it's a progressive one. It's not where, look, I've tapped into that workshop and I've done that for 6 weeks and then I'm going to get another one and tap into that one. It's more really teaching people how to set your foundation for your journey. Set your foundation first and let's get that right, and then let's progress that further. And it's open to all levels, so people can come to me at the beginning of their journey, or they can come to me as an advanced student, or in between. It doesn't matter. We go through every aspect of mediumship, every aspect of psychic development.
Fascinating. And then people who come to you, do they come to you because they recognize that they have some kind of ability? Or do they just come, you know, sort of completely out of the blue and say, I want to be psychic, or I want to be a medium? I mean, what kind of people do you get coming
yeah,
to?
Yeah, you get both, to be fair. I have an application form that people have to submit to give me a bit of a background on, yeah. you know, why they're applying, why they want to do it. Because really, it should be something that you are aware of at some point in your life. If you're going to look at development, it should be where you feel like you need to answer that part of things for yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're someone who feels that they've got a strong intuition but doesn't know much about it, that doesn't mean they shouldn't apply. Mm-hmm. You know, I will speak with every single person anyway and look at every single application singly, because you might, you know, there's people maybe listening that maybe feel like, well, I get a couple of things, but I don't think I'm a medium. Well, that's how it started for me.
Yeah.
If somebody had said to me, well, it's only if you know you're a medium you can come, I wouldn't have went, because
yeah.
I didn't know I was a medium. So it's both sides, really, both sides of the coin. Everyone's welcome.
Yeah. So you would have to have your interest piqued, though, so that you would be, you know, looking to do something like that and contact you. So do people contact you through your website? Is that how they get in touch with you? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All goes through KarenPsychic.com.
KarenPsychic.com. And then so people can book a consultation with you, that sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you do groups? And, you know, I mean, tell me how that sort of side of things work.
I do my own events, which is more like group readings. So that might be, you know, an audience of 40 mm-hmm. or 50 or 100 people. It varies dependent where it is. I also do small group readings, which would be on Zoom. So if there's six people looking for a reading, they would still come on one at a time, but they could be in the same house, you know, yeah. or I could read for families that want to sit together, or single consultations. So all sides of it. You know, I do. I also do webinars, online workshops, all of that. And all of those things are detailed in the newsletter that I send out once a month. So people can also subscribe to that so that they're aware of things that are coming up through my work too.
And you talk all around the world, don't you? You go everywhere.
Yeah. yeah, I do. I'm really blessed actually to have been asked to do so much in other places. Yeah. I do a lot lot in the States and Australia and just different places. You know, I think that's the thing. This is such a universal thing, you know, and people, it's strange because there's different teachings wherever you go, you know, there's and different levels of teaching. So in the UK, for instance, when I first started, there's lots of spiritualist churches, lots of churches you can demonstrate at, centres, lots of centres, whereas sometimes in other places there isn't that kind of development ground, if you like. Now, that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. But I just feel like when I do podcasts like this and, you know, there's education going out there, I just feel like it reaches people that it's meant to reach. And then, you know, and then we take it from there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I, when I lived in London, I used to head along to the College of Psychic Studies quite regularly and hear talks there. But of course, not everybody's able to do that. So it's great that, you know, you're getting out there. Well, you know, the internet and everything, it's brilliant. It's
going to say that. I think after the pandemic and things, lots of people went online, even people that wouldn't have wanted to go online. Everyone then got used to doing everything online. And I think that's been a great thing in so many ways, because then you can reach more people. So as much as I'm a big fan of meeting people and being in the room with people, you know, I think online's excellent too.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. And there's no barrier online, is there? And I love that what you're doing as well is normalizing this. Now, obviously, mediumship's been a bit of a controversial subject amongst certain religious organizations and certain religions. However, what I'm hearing from you is that it's a perfectly normal thing. It's not, you know, the work of the devil, let's just say, you know, it's absolutely normal. And the way that you're using it is very much in that healing space and not so much in the fairground attraction, you know, you will meet a dark stranger and get married and have six kids space.
I think that, I think that's the thing that was always important for me was if I'm going to do this and I'm going to be able to do this with spirit, then it was to serve and to help and heal. And it's always, that's never changed. That ethos has never changed with me. So I was never really that interested in working at psychic fairs and all of this. Not that, that I'm not saying that that's not a thing that people should do. I think if that's your thing, that's your thing. And you're still going to help people at some level, your own level, psychically, mediumistically, whatever that might be. But for me, it was always more about just trying to create that space, hold space for people. I've worked with families through suicides. I've worked with families, parents that have lost children. And for me, that respect of spirit and understanding the power of spirit, because it is a power more amazing than we can even really perceive in our own mind, really is what's important for me.
Yeah, and I think that's fantastic. And it's great what you're doing. And for anybody who is drawn to work with you or come to you, it's KarenPsychic.com. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking to me and our listeners about what you do. I think it's it's great. And I really do love the fact that, I mean, in my mind, I'm just thinking, you know, you're bringing mediumship into the 21st century, right? It's almost like, you know, we've gone beyond the fairground tent.
And I think bringing it in a traditional way, as in respecting that mediumship is an ancient thing, you know, that's been used for many, many years. Not forgetting as well that it gets used with police investigations, all of this kind of thing, forensics. Mediums and psychics are used for that kind of work all the time as well. So there's a lot that goes on past the fairground attraction side of things. Unfortunately, TV normally depicts the fairground attraction kind of thing. Even if you see, I remember being very excited about a program that was coming on a few years ago, and I was like, this might be amazing because they're going to talk about psychics and how we'll work. And it wasn't. It was poking fun at it. It was using people on it that weren't psychic. And so then you're like, oh, you know, you just feel a little bit like, I wish there was something out there that people could hear, that, you know, and just like you say, normalize it, let people see what it's all about, really.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this will have done something towards that. And so, Karen, thank you so, so much. We've come to the end of our time, but I hope that anybody who's interested in working with you will get in touch with you as well, because it sounds like that you know, you really can use mediumship for everybody's good and for, to heal not just the individual, but the planet, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all connected, so it works wonders. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Yes, it really is a case of heal yourself and you heal the world. Right now, though, we're coming to the end of the show. I've enjoyed speaking with Karen, and I hope you have too. Remember, you can listen to all of our shows on all the main podcast platforms these days. And if you appreciate our shows or they've helped you, do help us spread the word by liking and sharing them. You never know, it just might be what somebody you know needs to hear. Also, check out the show I co-host with psychiatrist and coach Dr. Mark Goulston here on UK Health Radio. It's called Hurt Less, Live More, and it's the place for raw, open, uplifting and hopefully enlightening conversations with more fantastic guests. And if you're looking for even more health information, there's our sister publication, Health Triangle Magazine. That's a monthly magazine that's full of great features complementing our radio shows. You can subscribe online at ukhealthradio.com. And that really is it now. Join me again for more Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.